It's 10 a.m., so we will begin our City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. If everyone in the audience would please take a breath for a second so we can start our meeting, it would be appreciated. Thank you. We'll start first with our Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody would rise. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'm going to ask Ms. Jones to do our invocation. Ms. Jones?
Okay, gracious and most holy Father, we come bow down before you this morning, giving thanks and praises to your name. We invite you into this meeting as we make decisions for those that's coming before us, and let us make the right decisions. And Father God, we thank you for MPC, its staff, and its members. If there's anything we've said or done that's not like you, we ask forgiveness, and we thank you for forgiving us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Jones. Welcome to the May 25th, 2023 City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in. Witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of the Savannah Board of Appeals are final. Challenges to the decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. Has everyone that intends to speak today signed in on the sign-in sheet? Yep. Okay. All right. We will begin with items requested to be removed from the agenda. 1313 Habersham Street will be removed from the agenda for today and move to June 22nd. We'll go to approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the April 27th meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Plunk and seconded by Ms. Jones. Ms. Jarrett, welcome. Ms. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Evans, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
I vote yes. And Mr. Turner, how do you vote?
Yes.
That passes, and we will move on to the next item, the approval of the final agenda. Do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
So moved and seconded. So the motion was moved by Mr. Plunk, seconded by Ms. Jones. Ms. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Ms. Jones?
Yes.
Thank you all. And we will proceed down to the regular agenda. The first item on the agenda is 3400 Highgate Boulevard, a sign height variance. Let's do our swearing in first for everyone that's going to give testimony today. If you'd please stand up and raise your right hand. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Lawson.
Good morning. Good morning to the board and public present. The first item on our agenda for action is a request for a variance to the maximum sign height for two neighborhood identification signs at the entrance to a subdivision. The subdivision is a property known as the Pines at New Hampstead. New Hampstead is a planned development, residential development in West Chatham, but in the city of Savannah. And the petitioner is requesting a 4-foot variance to the 6-foot maximum for signs. This is a site layout of the neighborhood that I'm going to share with you. It is a residential subdivision, as I mentioned, which includes both single-family and multifamily uses. The property takes access from Highgate Boulevard as well as Fort Argyle Road. And just for clarity, because there is a one change I want to mention. It is true that the subdivision takes access from both of those streets, but the proposed location of the signs are at the Highgate Boulevard entrance, which is located here. You see the stars that are shown here that show the location of the sign. The sign locations will be 10 feet back from the edge of pavement. And 2 feet inside the property line, 20 feet back from the drivable roadway, all of which are consistent with the requirements for freestanding signage. Let me see here. Here are the proposed signs for that location. And I should mention that the New Hampstead Development, as a property owners association, that association manages the declaration of covenants for all the new neighborhoods that get created within their boundaries. They have approved this sign design and height, which they're required to do. I mentioned in my report, as you probably saw, that that was going to be a condition of our recommendation, but we have received that information from the POA, and they have approved of the proposed sign. One of the things that we looked at as staff relative to the variance request is any conditions that might be unusual or different to this location. Highgate Boulevard has a 125-foot plus or minus right-of-way. The entrance to the property is quite far away from the existing roadway. We found that based on that, the additional height actually improved the situation from a visibility and safety standpoint, and it was not out of character with the general development pattern. Based on those findings and the other findings you find in the staff report, we're recommending approval of the 4-foot sign height variance. We're not conditioning it because we do have the approval already from the New Hampstead Property Owners Association, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any board members have any questions? Thank you, Mr. Mark. Ms. Lawson.
Thank you.
Would the petitioner care to speak?
Good evening or good morning. I was texting my office saying I'm not normally nervous about these meetings. I sat on Planning Commission for the town of Bluffton for 6 years. But if you've read the backstory of this goes back
I'm
to.
I'm sorry, please introduce yourself.
I'm sorry, Sean Congleton. I'm the CEO of Sign Design. And minority partner. I've been with the company since 2007. And as I was mentioning, I'm not normally nervous before I come to these meetings, but this goes back 2 years. We started this permit process right at the height of COVID. And to be transparent, the signs are already existing. And we did so based on our email correspondence with the city of Savannah that I included in the packet. So really, I am at your mercy, because this is a very large client. I've let them know that somehow the mistake was made. It got done. I would, you know, plead to the mercy of the board. I appreciate the comments of the MPC and as well as the POA supporting their approval. This would be a tremendous help. Our policy of the company is to do things the right way, to make sure we file the permits. We will not install a sign without a permit, except this time, which was an accident, because we thought we had one. So we're here to do things the right way. I will defer to your judgment, but I would ask that you consider approval, and we would much appreciate that. That's all I have. Do you have any questions for me?
Thank you. Any board members have any questions? No?
My only concern would be sight distance, making sure that the cars aren't blocked by the sign nor the pedestrians. Is there anybody that's taking a look at that?
I can speak to that. Yes, ma'am. Originally, when we submitted this initially, we were going to have the sign in the median, but there was sight distance problems there, because originally we were going to have a double-sided sign that was perpendicular to the road. Mr. Bolton with the city of Savannah identified that that was an issue, and we relocated it out to those outlier areas to prevent any sight distance, and it's far enough back to not create any traffic concerns. So that, right, that was addressed early.
Any other board members have any questions? No?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Any members of the public like to speak in regards to this matter? Anyone online? No? So we'll open it up to board discussion. Any comments? No? I'll accept a motion.
Motion to grant petitioner's request.
We have a second. Second. Okay. And Ms. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Ms. Jones?
Yes.
The motion passes. And we will move on to the next item on the agenda, which is 424 East 55th Street, a variance request.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members, Melissa Leto, MPC staff. Let me open up some files here. All right, this is the aerial view of the subject property at 424 East 55th Street. The subject property is a two-story residence located within the residential single-family 6 zoning district, where the maximum lot coverage is 40%. The petitioner, Peter Calleja, is requesting a variance to increase the 40% maximum lot coverage to 43.4% to construct a rear bedroom addition. Here's the proposed site plan. The subject property has a total lot area of 0.15 acres or 6,534 square feet. The request to construct a 322-square-foot one-story rear bedroom addition is the reason a variance is required to the excess of 224 square feet or an additional 3.4% over the 40% max. The subject building was built in 1941 and currently occupies 2,007 square feet. It is a single-family residence with three bedrooms and two bathrooms. The family has owned the property for 10 years. They have two children, and the parents work from home. The third bedroom, which is dedicated to their younger son, has enough room for a crib, bed, dresser, and chair without a closet. And I'll show you those images of the... So this is their third bedroom for their three-year-old, and they don't have enough room to put a twin bed in there. So this is the request for having an additional rear bedroom addition. The room does not have enough room to accommodate a twin bed. The petitioner is requesting an additional 198 square feet or 3.4% above the 40% lot coverage requirement to construct a rear bedroom addition for their son. Based on the variance criteria, our staff finds the following. The requested variance would not be detrimental to the welfare of the community. The proposed rear addition would not be seen from the front of the house and would not cause a precedent to the neighborhood, as the area has several additions as families have grown with more children. The size of the property is slightly smaller, with 5,700 square feet in size, unlike the larger lots on East 55th Street with 8,000 to 9,000 square foot lot sizes. The special condition would be the existing size of the third bedroom being too small for a single twin bed and a closet. The bedroom was built when the house was constructed. The condition is not a result from the actions of the applicant. And staff recommends approval based on the variance criteria. I'm here to answer any questions, and the architect is as well.
Thank you, Ms. Leto. Any questions from the board? No. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Is the petitioner present?
Yes, sir.
Please introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Pete Callejas of Homestead Architecture. Thank you for considering this. Appreciate what you all do. I know it's a thankless job, and we're glad you're here. And this particular project, the house has got an odd configuration. We looked at trying to find another way to incorporate and reconfigure the interior spaces to accommodate this. And it's an odd layout, and the only way we could really do it, just based on it's a two-story all the way. There was an addition, but there's just no way to add another bedroom in the current footprint without completely gutting the house and reconfiguring the entire thing, just because of the fact that you would have to reconfigure some windows, some egress, change the footprint in a way that it would just be cost prohibitive. And because of the growing family, we were looking at a couple of different things, and this was just enough to get the size of the bedroom. There would also be, closet, bathroom, but we don't feel like this is terribly extravagant, or we're not trying to do anything that's crazy. We're just trying to get enough square footage so their growing family can have enough living space in this house and in a configuration that works for their lifestyle without, they want to stay in the neighborhood. They love the neighborhood. They love the house. We got some letters of recommendation from the neighbors. I believe there was one or two that had some concerns, but we don't feel like we're doing anything terribly out of the ordinary. We're just asking for, it was originally 198, but there was a little bump out on an existing accessory shed that I didn't notice. So when I added the square footage for that, it actually came up to, I think we're asking for 224 square feet. So that's it. So I'm here to answer any questions if you have.
Thank you. Any questions for the applicant? No.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. We're open to board discussion. Any comments? So, no? Okay. All right. I'm amenable to a motion.
Motion to grant petitioner's request.
Second.
The motion was made by Mr. Plunk and seconded by Ms. Jones. Ms. Jarrett, how would you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
And Ms. Jones?
Yes.
The motion passes. Next item up on the agenda is 111 West Congress Street, sign height variance.
Good morning. This is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff report for 111 West Congress Street. The applicant is requesting a variance to the 10-foot height requirement to allow for a marquee sign with 8 feet and 9 inches of clearance above the sidewalk to align with the heights of adjacent historic buildings. This is a photo of the property in question. So a variance recommendation request was approved by the Historic District Board of Review on November 9th, 2023. The staff report references the historic context of existing historic marquee signs, which do not conform to the standard in the ordinance. The petitioner has provided examples of these, the two most prominent being Trustees Theater and Savannah Theater, which are found on the first and last photos here. And then in the middle, there are two other marquee signs, which are used as reference for the dimensions. This is a rendering provided by the petitioner of the marquee sign, as well as an elevation drawing. So staff found that there were several examples, again, provided by the petitioner of existing marquee signs on Broughton and one on Bull, which do not conform to the standard. None of the referenced existing marquee signs under staff's understanding present a detriment to the public health, safety, or welfare, especially for pedestrians or utilizing the sidewalks. So staff found that there were no, that this was consistent with the intent of the ordinance and the comprehensive plan. Special conditions do exist. The building is shorter in height, and per the historic district ordinance, signs must be signed in the signable area per the architectural context of the building. Thus, the architectural context has the sign placed lower than it could be placed based on the windowsill height and the area where it could be signed. And these special conditions were not created by the petitioner, and they're not financial in nature. The literal interpretation would deprive the applicant of rights enjoyed by the rest of the community, as there are examples of existing historic marquee signs within the same zoning district which do not conform. In addition, the HDBR staff report stated that reducing the height of the proposed sign could cause it to no longer meet the visual compatibility standards in the downtown historic overlay ordinance, which requires signs to match the historic context. As for minimum variance, this variance, if granted, would be the minimum variance, again, referencing the Historic District Board of Review staff report, which said reducing the height of the sign could cause it to no longer be visually compatible per the Historic District Ordinance. With that, the staff recommendation is approval for a variance to the 10-foot height requirement to allow for a marquee sign with 8 feet 9 inches of clearance above the sidewalk.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? No? Thank you, sir. Is the applicant present? Please introduce yourself.
Hello, Kevin Rose with Rose Architects. Thanks, y'all, for letting us present today. I guess I just like to keep this short and sweet and say we agree with the staff recommendation, and I'm here for any questions you might have. We're just trying to fit into the historic fabric, and that's why we're here today. So, okay. Yeah, any questions?
Any questions? No? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll take public comment at this time. If there's anyone here, anyone online that, no? Okay. I'd be amenable to a motion unless we have board discussion. No?
I motion that we approve the variance.
Mr. Turner has made a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Plunk. Ms. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
And Ms. Jones?
Yes.
The motion is approved. Next item on the agenda is 523 Siler Avenue, building frontage variance.
Thank you. This is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff report for 523 Siler Avenue. The applicant is requesting a variance for the reduction of the building frontage minimum from 70% to 60% to accommodate a ribbon strip driveway on the side of the building to meet the required parking minimum. Um, 523 Siler is currently an unimproved lot. The applicant received a certificate of appropriateness from the Historic Preservation Commission on April 26th. The HPC also approved a variance recommendation request to reduce the building frontage from the minimum 70% to the proposed 60%. Of note, there is no lane access on this block, and the parcel is 94 feet in depth and 30 feet in width. Within the context, there are examples of single-family residences on this block, both new construction and existing. that have front yard driveways, examples being 515, 519, 516. This is 510, which is also an example of an existing front yard driveway. This is the proposed site plan with the ribbon strip driveway on the side, as well as the proposed front elevation. So staff found this to be consistent with the intent of the ordinance and the comprehensive plan. There are several properties on this block of Sile Avenue that have front yard driveways, so we found it to be in compliance with the character of this block of Siler. In addition, there's no public safety or welfare concern, as this block of Sile Avenue is not particularly a high traffic road, so an additional driveway wouldn't be, in staff's understanding, a detriment to the public health, safety, or welfare. As far as the literal interpretation, staff found, again, that there were examples of single-family residences on this block that have front yard driveways, both, again, historic buildings and newer construction. So staff found that this would deprive them of rights enjoyed by the rest of the community. In addition, again, the subject parcel does not have access to a lane. The variance, if granted, would be the minimum variance to meet the parking requirement of one space per unit, as well as to meet the standards in the streetcar local historic district ordinance for driveways. And this variant would not grant any special privileges, as there are, again, examples of driveways, especially on this block of Siler. So based on that, the staff recommendation is approval for the variance for the reduction of the building frontage minimum from 70% to 60% to accommodate a ribbon strip driveway on the side of the building to meet the required parking minimum. Is there any questions?
Any questions for staff?
No. I have a question.
You'll have an opportunity in a moment. It's okay. Thank you very much. Is the applicant available? Please introduce yourself as you come up.
Hi, hello everybody. My name is Ina Adams, and I am the owner of the lot, and on the recommendations of historic board, we went through designing the possible, you know, house in compliance and trying to comply with all the regulations, and having a driveway seems to be as a more important issue for the owner of the house, right, who will be using the house to address that versus, you know, is it 18 or 21 foot. Moreover, the size of a house is very comfortable, I would say, for living. It's 4-bedroom, 3.5 baths, so it's plenty of space. Oh. You know, if we have, you know, thinking of a space to use inside the house, which is 18 foot wide, which doesn't seem that much, but it's very comfortable house. So, if you have any questions, please ask.
Any questions?
This is a single family residence, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. No, no other questions? Any other comments from you?
Just the only comment that it's a 30 foot wide lot, which doesn't allow too much of configuration or changes to make. That's
okay.
The only comment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At this time, we would be willing to hear public comment. I know I have at least one person who'd like to come forward. Please do, and introduce yourself. Did you, were you here earlier where we were sworn in? Fantastic. So please introduce yourself.
So my name is Kathleen Wolf, and I don't actually live on Sealer Avenue, but I'm considering buying property nearby. And my question was your question, which is this a single family home?
Oh,
number one.
Okay.
And number two is, is there any possibility that it could come back in 3 or 4 years and turn into a multifamily home? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, but realistically, we can't predict the future. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They would need a variance to do it. So yeah.
So I'd have to come to that meeting too.
The only thing I would add to that is that this lot does not have enough lot area to allow a duplex. So
Yes.
Yeah. So that's
that
really
would be my thought, but yeah. I was just checking.
Right. Yeah.
But your question was my question, so thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Anyone online? No? Okay. Should we do any board discussion here on this? Any questions, Ms. Jarrett? No? Okay. I'm open to a motion.
I move for approval.
Ms. Jones has made a motion to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Plunk. Ms. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
And Ms. Jones?
Yes.
The motion is approved. Next item is 520 East 54th, sorry, excuse me, 520 East 51st Street.
All right, good morning again. This request is for 520 East 51st Street. There are two requests for the variances today. One is for lot coverage. They are requesting to go 1.4% or 198 square feet over the 40% required in the RSF 6 zoning district. And also they have an after the fact accessory building that was constructed within the 5 foot required rear yard setback. So we'll talk about that further. Some pictures. So here's the rear of the single family residence. The deck will be removed and there is a meter area. So they're going to start the addition right after that and then come out further in for the one-story master bedroom. So the subject property is 0.11 acres or 4,791 square feet in lot area. As you can see, it's a one-story single-family residence. It was constructed around 1930 and currently occupies about 1,061 square feet of interior space with two bedrooms and one bathroom. The petitioner is requesting a rear addition to the principal residence for the following purposes. I'll try and show you. First, the site plan. We'll go back with the others. Okay, so this is where the shaded areas where the proposed rear addition will be. It will be a small laundry room with pantry, a utility room for the water heater, a new master bedroom, and a master closet. The rear addition will exceed the required 40% lot coverage maximum by 1.4% or 198 square feet. Petitioner is also requesting an after-the-fact variance to the carport that was constructed without a building permit. Property owners hired a builder that did not apply for a building permit without their knowledge and thus was never informed that the carport is required to have a 5 foot rear yard setback. The builder constructed the carport with a 0 foot rear yard setback. So as you can see to the right over here, where the French doors are, that was at one time an existing accessory building that was non-conforming with a rear yard setback. They hired a builder and he went over and was working on the roof and then added on to this carport without their knowledge, the property owner's knowledge of having a building permit or not having a building permit. Otherwise, if they had gone through the building permit process, as you know, they would have been informed that they need to have a 5 foot rear yard setback. So now they're coming back to recommend that with this variance request. Let me show you some more images of the, okay, so here on the site plan, shaded area, the rear addition, and then over here is where the existing shed is, and then this is the expansion of the nonconformity of the rear yard setback to go into a carport and then to the rear of the property with a 0 foot rear yard setback line. And I have further drawings from the architect and photos of the accessory building. Also lanes in that area, the 50th, East 50th lane, indicates that there are several accessory buildings within that lane that are all non-conforming. I'm going to show you the development pattern just on that subject block with shaded areas that indicate that all the accessory buildings are on the zero lot line within that 51st Street and 50th Lane and East 50th Street. So based on the variance criteria in section 3.21.10, the following findings staff has found is that the requested variances would not be detrimental to the welfare of the community. The proposed rear addition would be replacing the rear deck area on the property. Let me bring you back to our site plan here. The proposed rear addition would be replacing the rear deck area on the property with a total of 480 square feet for the rear addition. 198 square feet of the 480 is the reason for the requested variance for the rear addition. The after-the-fact carport is considered an expansion of the existing accessory building's nonconformity constructed within the 0-foot rear yard setback with the required 5-foot rear yard setback requirement. There is direct access to East 50th Lane, which the property owner utilizes for ingress and egress to and from his property. The size of the property is slightly smaller with 4,791 square feet in size, unlike the larger lots on East 51st with 6,000 square foot lots on the subject block within the RSF 6 zoning district. However, there are 7 out of 13 properties that are of similar size as a subject property along East 51st Street. The property owner is a military veteran with existing physical conditions for his time at service. Part of the reason for the addition is to increase accessibility. Entrance to the rear of the house with a few 4-inch steps would allow him more space and to physically be able to come out of his vehicle from the carport and walk a short distance into his bedroom. The condition is a result of the actions of the applicant to make his quality of life greater. Let me go to the staff's recommendation. Based on the development pattern and the variance criteria, staff recommends approval of the requested variances with the following condition. 1, add gutters to direct stormwater runoff consistent with the city's stormwater management policy. And I believe there was a letter of support that was provided with the neighbor. And there was a question from the adjacent neighbor as to the elevation of the rear addition's roof because her deck aligns with his deck. And if his deck's going to be replaced with a rear addition, she just wants to know how high the pitch of the roof will be. And the architect could probably explain that to us. So, but he is here as well to answer questions.
Any questions for staff?
I had one. Who is the builder that constructed the garage?
Oh.
He has no name.
Unknown.
I don't know. It's a sort of a fly by name.
You want to come up and speak?
Oh, sorry, yes.
Introduce yourself before you speak.
For the my record. Name is Pete Calles, Homestead Architecture. Thank you again for being here. I appreciate it. There's a lot of nuances to this request. One, I was hired to look at building an addition to make his home more livable for a disabled veteran. These homes are small and tight. The bathrooms are tiny. The kitchens are tiny. The hallways are narrow. They only have one bathroom that they're sharing with their one child. They're really just trying to make this very, very small house more accessible and more livable for 21st century living. So as far as the addition was concerned, we were just trying to find a way. And the addition is not a master bedroom. It's actually a master bathroom. so they would have a second bathroom. It's not adding another bedroom. It's adding a bathroom and a utility area on the rear. As far as the carport, it was built before I came on the scene. I'm not sure who the builder was. It wasn't somebody that I don't know the name. I'm not here to point fingers or report it. But when I noticed that it did not conform and it didn't have a permit, I brought it up with the homeowner, who immediately was, first of all, surprised and shocked that the builder didn't have a permit, because he's new to the area and didn't understand the process. So what he immediately said was he wanted to make this legit and do what we needed to do to, not so that this isn't something that's hanging out there non-conforming and illegitimate. So I contacted Development Services and talked to Peter Gallarducci, and he said that if I do a set of construction documents for this existing building that's already built, which wasn't badly done at all, it was a nice building. So I was happy to do that. I submitted it. It was approved by all departments until it got to the zoning, which is where, we got this snag. And so my job was to try to see if we can get this approved without them having to take 5 foot of roof off just to meet the ordinance, which we're very apologetic that this happened. It shouldn't have happened. If I was designing it, I would have designed it differently. However, it's existing. It does align with 23 other accessory buildings on that lane with a zero lot line. So I'm not creating any new, or they haven't created any new anomalies. We haven't created any barriers or any obstruction anymore that's already existing. It does not prevent any service vehicles, trash, or fire if it were necessary to travel through there. It's not a thing new or different than what's already there. It is what it is. So we're trying to get approval, get permission, get forgiveness, so that the client can have a nice place to park, an accessible path to their house, and hopefully the house also, with the new design, will become a much more livable space for them. Again, he's a disabled veteran. We appreciate his service, and I'm just trying to do what I can to improve his life and get through this process. And, I don't think anything we're asking for is unreasonable or out of the ordinary. It's just, it is what it is. So that's why we're here. So I'm here to answer any questions.
Hang tight for 1 second.
Sure.
Is that okay, Mr. Evans? You're happy with the answer?
Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing it up, making sure it's done the right way.
We're just trying to do the right thing.
I understand that you're not trying to cast aspersions on anyone. I'm sitting in this seat, sort of curious, just to have in the file in the back of my mind, but I get it that you don't know. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any more questions for staff? I don't want you to go anywhere yet, but we're still at the questions for staff point.
I got you.
Any other questions for staff?
I had just one. The staff recommendation of adding gutters, is that just to the rear addition or to the carport as well?
That would be for the roof structure all around.
So would it include both the carport retroactively?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
And we're perfectly happy to do that.
Thank you. Is there, at this point, if there are no more questions for staff, then it's now your time. Is there anything in addition to what you've already said that you'd like to present to us? I think you've done a pretty good job thus far, by the way, so I don't know that you have to, but if you want to.
I think I've said everything I needed to say, unless you have any questions.
Any questions for the petitioner? No? Thank you very much. I'm open to any board discussion. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Is there anyone online from the public that would like to speak? No? Thank you for bringing that up. All right. Seeing no one available to speak from the public, I would then open. Yes, sir. Oh, Emily. Welcome to the ZBA meeting. Are you there? Go ahead now, Emily.
Yes. I'm the adjacent neighbor who raised the concern over the total elevation height of the...
We can't hear you, but don't give up. Try it again.
I'm the one who... can you hear me now?
There we go. Now we got you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
We have you. Yes, Emily. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm the adjacent neighbor who raised the concern regarding the roof height. And when the garage was built, it seemed like it was a lot taller than anyone expected. And I'm just wondering if that's going to happen again, or if we have an idea if it's going to be a slope roof or follow the existing or what. If you look along all the houses on that strip in the backyards, they're all fairly low profile roofs that don't restrict anybody's access to light. And I've got more of a concern around volume than actual footprint on the property. So any way we can get a preview of what the height of the total, the structure is going to be in the addition.
Yes, Ms. Emily, the architect is here, so he can answer that question for you.
Hi, Emily. My name is Pete Callejas. I'm the architect. We haven't actually designed this space yet because we're trying to get approval first, obviously. But the intent is a one-story building. The roof height would be at or lower than the existing roof height of the house. It is not connecting to the carport or the accessory building in any way. So it's just a small addition on the rear. It won't be more than a one-story addition. The roof height will conform to whatever height restrictions we may have, you know, by far, I'm sure. So, you know, I can't speak to the, you know, reasoning or the design because I wasn't the designer of the carport, but because it got wider, the roof slope the way it was, yes, it got a little higher, but, you know, I don't know that anybody expected anything since I don't think anybody saw any drawings. So, it is what it is, but it's not higher than what is allowed in that area. So that's all I can really say about that.
Okay.
Okay. So I understand the need to get approval before you would go ahead and design it. And I'm sorry, could you just refresh what the use of this addition is going to be for?
Yes, it's a master bathroom and a small utility area because they have a one bathroom in the house, which they share with their child. Chris is a partially disabled veteran. The house is very small with one bathroom, very small hallway, small kitchen. We're trying to make the house more livable, more accessible, and, you know, make it a you know, a place that they can age in place. You know, I don't feel like we're asking too much, but, you know, we appreciate your concern.
Not at all. Thank you for the clarification. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Emily. Is that all?
Yes.
Thank you. Anyone else online for public comment? No? Okay. We'll close the public comment now and open to board discussion. Okay. Then I would be willing to hear a motion.
Motion to approve with staff's condition to add gutters.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Plunk. Motion by Mr. Evans, seconded by Mr. Plunk to approve the recommendation of staff, which is to approve the variance with the addition of gutters to direct stormwater runoff consistent with the city's stormwater management policy. Mr. Merriman is absent. Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
And Ms. Jones?
Yes.
And that is it. I think we are done. Do you have anything, Ms. Lotto?
No, sir.
Okay. That's it then. We will adjourn for today. Thank you all for your help.